morning. How is everybody? Haven't seen you all in a while. You've got better looking, I have to say. Really well done on the worship, guys. It was really amazing, wasn't it? So, Father, we just thank you for your goodness to us, and your grace, and your mercy, and your kindness, and your power, and your gentleness. I just thank you, Lord, that everything that you do is right, and everything and every way you do it is perfect. And we say, have your way in our hearts and our lives, so that we can make a difference in this world, Father God. That the reality of what Jesus accomplished, the reality of your love would permeate every area of our lives, so that this world could see a glorious bride of Jesus, a glorious church. Even in our brokenness, Lord, your radiance shining through. Even in our suffering, your comfort shining through, Lord. We love you, Lord. You're just fantastic, Lord. You're amazing. Just tell him where you're at. Just tell him what you think of him right now. Just tell him how kind. Just recognize his kindness and his goodness in your life. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, God is good. Do you know, it's a privilege to be able to stand and actually declare God's goodness, because it's not easy in this world and in our lives as believers to declare the goodness of God. It's easy when we're on the mountaintops, but it's not easy when we're in the valleys. And he doesn't change from the mountaintop to the valley. And he doesn't change from the valley to the mountaintop. He's the same. He's consistent in his character. He's constant in his nature. That he does not change in his character. He's not good today and bad tomorrow. He is, and that's where we can anchor our very lives in, no matter what is going on in our world. And I actually got this sermon many, many months ago. I was out here, and I got this sermon. I got the remnants of this sermon, and it's just developed, and God has really used it in my own life and in the lives of others. So it's coming back full circle to the place where I got it. I will ask you to turn to the book of Hebrews, and we're gonna have a walk through the book of Hebrews today, and this is like a 3-month Bible study in whatever. What time do we finish that again? In a half an hour. Praise the Lord. I think this is the longest I've ever had in Bray to preach. And not the longest I've preached in Bray, but the longest official time I've had to preach in Bray. We won't really land anywhere, but we will hop, skip, and jump right through to get the crux of it. And having said that, the Word of God, the Book of Hebrews, and the Word of God is so multi-dimensional that whatever you bring out one week, you'll find something fresh and more nuggets in it as we read the Word of God. It never gets old. It's an old book that never gets old. Isn't that amazing? It's fresh. It's today's bread today. When you get into it and you need something, he will give you something to sustain you in all of this. But the book of Hebrews is, some people reckon that Paul wrote it, and then there's a whole argument that Paul didn't write it. So we always refer to as the writer of the Hebrews. But everything in me always wants to say, as Paul said in the book of Hebrews, but then I always pull myself back. Book of Hebrews is one of those amazing books where you read the word eternal a lot in it, and it gives us a glimpse of Jesus as our high priest. And as our high priest, he's able to understand all of our needs. Because he's perfect. He was a man, but he was perfect and is tempted in every way. He's able to meet all of our needs because he's the perfect God. And Jesus is central, and he's eternal, and his sin sacrifice is sufficient, and he has allowed us to be able to go into the most holy places because of what he done. But listen to what he says. It says this: long ago God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance. And through the Son, he created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his word or his command. When he has cleansed us from our sins, When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. And this is where we're going to fly through the book of Hebrews. When you read the book of Hebrews, God says that he's not speaking through prophets like he did in the old. He's speaking through his son. That everything that we need is in Jesus. Everything we need to know is in Jesus. Everything about God's character we find in Jesus. He radiates the very character of God. And when you look through the book of Hebrews, you see all of this stuff that Jesus is greater. That's or if your translation might say better, I like the word greater. It's like that, Jesus is greater. Everything that you read through, right up to chapter 10, is about the greater things that Jesus is. For instance, he says there in chapter 1 that Jesus is greater than the angels. Now some people want to hear from angels, and angels are majestic and holy and are around the throne of God and are sent from God to minister, but he wants to declare that Jesus is greater than the angels. And some of the people that he wrote this to was people that were getting into superstition, was going back into myths and going back into old ways of thinking, people that were falling away in faith and going back into Judaism where it was full of ceremony and type of, and people that had fallen away, people that were persecuted, people that had their homes confiscated. This book was written to a multitude of people. And the writer wanted to declare that Jesus is greater than the angels. And he goes on to say that Jesus is greater than Moses. Moses was a great deliverer, but he was saying Jesus is a greater deliverer than Moses. Now Moses was a hero of the Jewish people. He was the one, remember, he led them out of captivity, out of Egypt. He brought them through the Red Sea. He brought them into a place of worship. He built the tabernacle. He made all that space for the people. And then he disappeared, or God buried him. Do you know that God buried Moses? God asked Moses to go on a walk with him up Mount Nebo. And Moses died there and God buried him. So if God ever says, come on a walk up the mountains, go back into the Word and go, Lord, I've known this before in the Bible. God is greater. Jesus is greater than Moses, greater than the deliverer that Moses was, greater than the apostle that Moses was, greater than the one who went up the mountains to see the glory of God, where God passed him by, who got the Ten Commandments, the one who the people of Israel looked to for great leadership. Jesus, the Hebrew writer, is saying is greater than him. And then he says he's a greater leader than Joshua. Joshua led them into the place of rest. Joshua led them into the place of the land flowing with milk and honey. Joshua led them into battle, led them into victory. And he says, look, and I tell you that this Jesus is greater than Joshua. And then he goes on to talk about a greater covenant, greater than the old covenant, greater than the one that is now obsolete, because the one who came, Jesus, has now made the covenant, the new covenant, greater for us. And you know what? I've had another 20 minutes. I could just celebrate with us the genius of the new covenant, which is unbelievable. The old covenant exists to show us that we needed grace. That's why it was there. It wasn't there to go, we have to live up to this, because God gave us something that he knew we couldn't live up to. Therefore, when the gift of grace was handed to us, we would accept it, that this is a gift from God, that we don't have to do it, because the one who was greater than the old sacrifices has done it. Now, here's the genius of if you want to go through a study in the Old Testament, go through all the places where God the Father is speaking to Jesus, because it's all there. And you see the Father in Psalm 22 talking to Jesus, saying, they're going to cast lots for your clothes, Jesus. The wolves of Bashan is going to be around, circling around you. They're going to pluck out your beard. They're going to spit in your face. Isaiah 53, I'm going to punish you for their peace, that you're going to take their sin and their sickness upon you. And all this thing. And Jesus, those you created, they're going to reject you and despise you. And they're going to nail you to the cross. And every sin that has ever been committed, Jesus, is going to be placed on you. And you're even going to know some type of separation from me because you're taking on their sin. But if you do this, Jesus, when I tell you, I will cast none out that will come to me, that I won't write the words of my law on tablets of stone, I will write it on their hearts. Jesus, if you do what you need to do in your part of the covenant, I want to tell you that their sins will be forgiven. I want to tell you that they will have sonship like you know sonship with me. And the new covenant was all of these things. If you do this, I will do this. And Jesus does it on the cross. And the covenant can never be broken. Never. Do you know why? You can never break the covenant. Or I could never break the covenant. Do you know why? It wasn't made with us. God in his genius, Jesus being fully man and fully God, God made the new covenant, this agreement with himself. God the Father and God the Son, they made this covenant. Therefore, we can never break the covenant. So if the enemy ever says to you, God doesn't care for you, wrong. Because it's part of the covenant is that you cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. If the devil ever says to you, your circumstance ever says to you, that God has left you and forsaken you, it's a lie. Because he made this covenant with Jesus that in no way that I will always be with them. I'll be ever near the brokenhearted. Read through all the scriptures and it comes into this covenant that was ratified on the cross. Ratified on the resurrection. Sealed with the Holy Spirit that came to live in us. Nothing like the Old Testament or the Old Covenant. A covenant that is greater and with greater promises. Greater sacrifice. Look through Hebrews that in the Old Testament it was bulls and goats and lambs. In the New Testament it's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In the Old Testament it was like once a year. In Hebrews it was like this sacrifice is greater. It only has to be done once for all. That this sacrifice covers all the sins that has ever been committed, that is being committed, and that will be committed. Greater blood, greater sacrifice, a greater high priest. A greater tabernacle. A greater way in by the blood of the Lamb. A greater way in, not to the outer courts like Moses had. Not to the inner courts like Moses had. Not into the holy place like Moses had, but right into the very throne of God. Hebrews says that we're all welcomed in. That this greater stuff is amazing. And he goes all the way through to chapter 9. And he says, I want you to look back. And here's the writer of Hebrews. And I want us to get this today. The writer of Hebrews, look back at all the greater. And it's leading up to something. It's leading up to, why is he saying that this is greater? Why is he saying that this is happening? Why does he say that Jesus is greater than Moses? He's a greater deliverer, greater healer, greater blood, greater sacrifice, greater tabernacle, all greater high priests. If you notice that he doesn't say he's greater than Melchizedek, he says he's like Melchizedek, because he is Melchizedek. You can read it up yourself. Some people are looking at him, who in the world's Melchizedek? It's a high priest that was met in the Old Testament, but it was the pre-incarnate Jesus. So he leads it all up to this. I want you to remember that Jesus is greater. That no matter, he's greater than Moses, no matter what this world throws at you, he's greater. No matter what circumstances covers you, no matter what giants are in the land, no matter what fortified cities is in the land, like Joshua, he's saying, this Jesus is greater. And he's leading all the way up. If someone says you can't go into the Holy of Holies, tell them they're a liar because Jesus' blood is greater than any other goats or bulls or doves or lambs. And he's leading all up to this. And this is the place where he gets to. It's chapter 9, I believe. He says, Remember those days after you received the light, when you endured a great conflict full of suffering. Remember the days when you had great suffering, he says. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were being ill-treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you had yourselves a better and lasting possession. He leads all them up to all this great and goes, now where I'm coming to you, I know that you're going through affliction. I know that you're suffering. I know that you've been publicly exposed and insulted. I know that you've been ill-treated. I know that you've stood with those who have been ill-treated. I know that you have joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew a greater, that you had greater and lasting possessions. He's acknowledging that they took a licking, but they were still ticking. He's acknowledged that we know that you are publicly beaten and publicly insulted. He says, I know that you suffered greatly, and that wasn't only privately, but publicly. I know that you took a licking. The writer of Hebrews is telling us, even still, to this day, the Holy Spirit is saying, look, I know what you're going through. Your future is not a conundrum to God. God is not frustrated or he's not confused about your future. He has it in hand. But he knows that we go through these things. And he's acknowledging today, he sees your pain. He sees your affliction. He sees the season that you're in. He sees what you've been done to you privately and publicly. He knows that you took a licking, and the fact that you're still here, you are still ticking. So he says, I know that you're doing all of this. I know that you've gone through all this. Now listen to what he says. Therefore, knowing all this greater stuff, do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. He says to them, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. He says, don't throw away your confidence. Can I tell you, the enemy is after your confidence? Because I tell you what happens when he robs your confidence. He robs your song. He robs your prayer life. He robs your Bible reading. He robs you coming to church. He robs you being in fellowship. In fact, that he robs us so much that when those who have confidence in God torment you. Have you ever been there? You're getting your stuff confiscated, throwing out your house, publicly insulted, and someone comes in, praise the Lord. And you're like, I'm not sitting beside her. I was with a young man that life was under threat, for real. And I says to him, this only 3 weeks ago, I says, look, brother, whether you live or die, you belong to Jesus. And Jesus is greater than these people that are after you. And he says to me, it's easy for you to say. And I says, that's why I'm saying it. Because it was hard for him to say. He's the one that's taking the licking. And sometimes the enemy robs our confidence so much that we run away from those that will help keep us ticking. It's easy for you to say, you're not going through what I'm going through. That's why I'm saying it. And when I'm going through the stuff, I need someone that's easy for you to say, to come to me and say, keep believing, keep persevering. Imagine all of this stuff is thrown at these people. And this is what Paul, or the writer, says. Don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Here's one. Persevere. Why? So that when you've done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Listen, he goes on and says, for in a little while he who's coming will come and will not delay. Your answer is on the way. Your deliverer is on the way. The one who makes a way where there seems to be no way is on the way. He has heard your cry. He has heard your prayers. He has heard your teardrops fall to the ground or fall to your pillow. He has heard them. And this is what he says, for in just a little while, he who is coming will come. He will show up and he will not delay. Just because the train's going through a tunnel doesn't mean we throw away our ticket. You stay on the train. You stay with the thing. Even though the tunnel is dark, you stay confident in that your ticket and this train will get you through to your destination. And this is what Paul was saying. Don't let the enemy rob your confidence. Listen to what else he goes on to say. Chapter 10, 32. My righteous will live by faith. The enemy robs your confidence, he robs your faith. You receive from God by faith. You see into the supernatural by faith. If he robs your confidence, you'll stop praying, you'll stop worshiping, you'll stop asking God, you'll stop seeing what God wants for you, and you'll only see what's around you. He was saying all of this thing, that my righteous one will live by faith, and I will not take pleasure in those who shrink back and are destroyed. But we do not belong to those who are shrink back and destroyed. We are of those who believe and are saved. He says that God doesn't take delight in those who shrink back. But he says, but we're not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. We are of those who believe and will be saved, who will see the salvation of God, who will see the Zoe of God, who will see the Zozo of God, the very life of God, the Shalom of God manifest in this world. If you are looking for healing, have confidence in him who is greater than anything else created. If you're looking for confidence, look to Jesus. He says this, that you are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. You are of those who believe. And listen, the Bible, when it was written, hadn't got chapters. So if you're not belong to those who shrink back at the sight, who do you belong to? What crowd do you belong to? It's the crowd of chapter 11. It's the, in chapter 11 of Hebrews, it talks about Moses and Noah and Davids and all types of people that believe God and seen the result of God. And the writer is saying, you don't belong to the shrinkers. You belong to those who believe. And then he lists all those who you belong to. You sit with a great crowd of people. You belong to a long lineage of people who persevered, who seen God move, who received the promises of God manifest in this world. You belong to the likes of Abraham and Moses and Isaac and Jacob. You belong to the Deborahs. You belong to the Samuels. You belong to the Elijah and the Elijahs. He says, this is who you belong to. And you're going to have to start bringing yourself into alignment with the right crowds. Because you're not a shrinker. You're not someone who will buckle underneath this. God will sustain you. God will hold you. As we sang this morning, God will hold you in the nighttime. There is a place in God, I believe, I've experienced it many times, and many times I haven't. There's a place in God, no matter what's going through, the righteous can have a good night's sleep. You haven't got to say, God, this is a promise. This is part of the covenant. The righteous can sleep in peace. Jesus was the perfect example on the stormy boat. He slept in peace while the storm was going on around him. He was only manifesting about what was inside of him. And what was inside of him came out manifest on everything around him. He said to the waves, be at peace. As I am, you be. As I am, you be. As Jesus is, you is. Amen. We belong to a long lineage of people who have overcome. And God's promise is, and some of the stuff we're going through is a process to our progress. It's not all the devil. It's not all just our wrong choices. Now, there's a process to progress. That he wants us to know certain things about his character that we only get to experience in storms. And there's nobody can trust somebody like no one can trust Jesus like someone who's gone through something with Jesus. And there's no greater gift we can give this world is to say to someone, I've been there and he's brought me through. There's no greater gift we can give to a single mother or a broken marriage than we can say, look, we've experienced it and we know he's been there with us. Sometimes we taste the poison to give people an antidote. The brokenness and the persecution and the humiliation that people have experienced in this room and that Paul, that the writer addresses. Don't throw away your confidence. And how do we not throw away our confidence? Well, Hebrews 12 tells us, fix your eyes on Jesus, he says. How do I keep this going? Do I look to my circumstances? Do I look to the persecutors? Do I look at all of them? He says, no, don't fix your eyes on the thing. Fix your eyes on the King. Amen, that was good. What happens when we fix our eyes on the thing? Our confidence level goes down. We fix our eyes on the King, our confidence level goes back up. That's why that song was so amazing this morning. He is good. It's good. How do we sustain that attitude and that atmosphere in our life of God is good? It's by looking to Jesus. Break bread with yourself. Break bread with your family. Break bread with your spouse. Break bread with your friend. I'm telling you, you break bread and you cannot help but create an atmosphere around yourself of thanksgiving. Because you will thank him for the cross. You will thank him for the blood. You will thank him that your sins are forgiven. You will thank him that he made a way into heaven. You will thank him that he loved you so much that he went to the cross. You will thank the Father so much that he sent his Son. You will thank him that you're on your way to heaven. You will thank him that you're a son or a daughter. You will thank him you're no longer a slave but a friend. You get into all this thankfulness, and thankfulness creates joy. And you create an atmosphere of joy around yourself. And what does joy produce? Strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That it says here, and I think he gives us a little glimpse, that it says that Jesus, so I read out at the beginning, that he sustains everything by a word. Because we're speaking something, believe me. We're either speaking life or we're either speaking death. We're either speaking hope or hopelessness. We're either speaking confidence or non-confidence. We will do it. Just test yourself for the whole day. Listen to yourself. Record yourself. I've done this recently. I was like, I can't believe the amount of death I've been around in the last three months of this year. That all I spoke about was people dying and death and whatever. And it was creating a melancholic mood in me. We're speaking something. And it says to help, it says Jesus sustains this thing by words, by sounds. We sing at that song that we're going to get back up in a minute, guys. He is my song. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Why? Because he's my song. Now when I sing about him and tell him how wonderful he is, something seems to grow inside of me. Creating an atmosphere. When Rosa Parks was thrown off that bus, do you remember? She got fined for kicking up a fuss. And she was brought to court. And she got a fine of like $29 or something and the court expenses, which brought her up to $34 or something. And she appealed it. And when she was appealing it, they protested outside the court. A young Baptist minister called Martin Luther King was assigned to that area. And he joined the protest. And this is what they started singing. We shall overcome. They didn't overcome at that point. She was only appealing to thing. The injustice that was being done to black people had not been overcome. But they started singing a song. And they created a future for themselves. They nearly prophesied what was to come into being by starting to sing a song when they didn't have the feelings of the victory. And this is what Hebrews, no, 2 Corinthians something. I haven't got the address, but I have the verse. 12 verse 10, I think. But praise be to God who makes us strong to overcome in Christ. And makes clear through us in every place the value of the knowledge of him. That's not where I wanted to get to. It's this one. Now, thanks be unto God who always leads us in triumph in Christ Jesus. His destination for us is triumph and overcoming. That's his destination. And there's things that he's working out in our lives and that things that he's healing and things that he's bringing to the surface, but he promises to lead us in triumphant possession. How do we sustain this? By fixing our eyes upon Jesus. How do we sustain this? By telling and looking to him and creating an atmosphere around ourselves of thanksgiving and praise. Listen, say to yourself, God is good. Sing it to yourself. Creator, you want to drive your enemy mad? You want to drive your tormentor mad? Sing, God is good. God is so good. I remember reading it in Friday is, today is Friday, but Sunday is coming. You know that book by, what's his name? Think of a minute. Tony Campolo. And he tells a story of these little kids waiting to be brought in like somewhere like Nicaragua or something. Waiting to be brought to the Bible camp. And there was only enough on the bus for 34 kids. And like 60 or 70 kids showed up. And he felt desperate that he could only put these mouth on. And he says as he was going away on the bus, he looks and they're all singing there. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good, he's so good to me. Sing it and you will torment your enemy. We're not getting on the bus. God is so good. Everything is not going the way I wanted to go. God is so, I'm being publicly ridiculed. God is so good. I'm broken. He's so good to me. And you will create your own atmosphere. What your day will look like is what you will create it to be. Yet the enemy will come in. Yet he will try to remind us of our sin or our failures. And we sing, God is so good. Why? Because he's greater than our sin. He's greater than our past. He's greater than our failures. He's greater than our present. He's greater than our future. And how do we, why should we run the race with perseverance? Hebrews 13:8. Because this Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why should we run the race looking at him? Because he's not changed. And there's people that has been brought through what we're going through. Why? Because he's not changed. There's people that have received miracles. Why? Because he's not changed. We may change, circumstances may change, country may change, government may change, everything else may change, For he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews chapter 3 says this. Hebrews 11, 12 says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 3 says, fix every thought on Jesus. But anything that's contrary to what he says in his word is a lie. And we have to fix that thought on who he is and what he says. And we'll be able to persevere and run this race that he's given to us. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we bless you, Lord God. You ever wonder why Paul says stuff like rejoice? He's in prison saying rejoice. He's been beaten up, rejoice. Left for dead, rejoice. Hungry, rejoice. Lost at sea, rejoice. I think you found him. I think you found a place in Jesus. A young man came to me that was going to face 10 years in prison. The day before he went to court, Sunday, he was in court on Monday. He came up to me on Sunday. He said beside me, can I just confess one thing to you now? I says, yeah. He says, whether I'm in prison or out, I belong to Jesus. He was creating what his future was going to look like by that statement. He didn't even know. Whether I live or die, I belong to Jesus. Whether I'm rich or poor, I belong to Jesus. Whether I'm famous or infamous, I belong to Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you would just come right now by the power of your Holy Spirit and that you would encourage your people, your sons, your daughters. Don't let your song be robbed. Listen to what God wants to say to you. Don't let your song be robbed. Make him your song. Start afresh today. Start afresh with the promises that he's made you in the word. Start afresh with the promises he made you personally. Get into the place of prayer again. Go into your room and close the door and cry out to your Father. Go into the room and get on your knees and say, Lord, here I am. What I have right now is confidence in the blood of Jesus to be able to enter into your throne room. I need strength. I need freshening up. I need revival in my own heart. I need to look at this situation afresh through your eyes, Lord, from heavenly places. Tell me again what you want to do in this situation. Tell me again, Holy Spirit, how I should pray. Pray in tongues. Get on your own, pray in tongues. He has given us something to, the Bible says to build yourself up, praying in tongues, build yourself up in your most holy faith. He's given us something to fortify ourselves and strengthen ourselves, and we're neglecting it. And we want to know why we're weak Christians. Pray in tongues. Create your own atmosphere around you. He's given us this to do. Lord, I don't know what to pray. He says, I'll pray through you. Just open your mouth. You're stronger than you think you are. You're stronger than you think you are. You've taken a licking, you're still thick. Stand up in the strength of God afresh. If you're going through something and you need strength, stand up right now in the strength of God. Just stand up where you are. Just, I'm standing up. I need strength and I'm standing up in the strength of God. My knees are buckling in the face of this, but I'm standing up in the strength of God. Stand up. You're not of those who shrink back. You're of those who believe and are saved. You're stronger than you think you are. You've persevered this long. You've pressed in this long. He says you not belong to the shrinkers. You belong to those who believe and are saved. Stand up if you need something from God this morning. You need fresh infilling. You need fresh faith, stand up. You need fresh eyes to look at this, stand up. praying all morning on the way down. This is what the Lord put in my heart. That we have to take it for granted that there's an enemy to the word of God in your heart. Because the Bible tells us it's the worries of this world. There's the fowl of the air that just wants to rob. There's an enemy against what God has put in your heart. Shame the devil and stand up before God and say, God, I'm here fresh. I will not be robbed anymore. I'm going to make my confession today that God is good. I'm going to make my confession. I'm going to create my own space. I'm going to confess that God is good. If I ended up homeless this month, God is good. If I end up being persecuted this month, God is good. If I don't get on the bus, God is good. If I don't get my dinner, God is good. Your process is part of it is for progress. You've prayed to God, I want to grow. You've said to God, do what you need to do in my heart. And he took it for real. Of course, could we sing that song afresh? And this is our prayer, guys, yeah? This is our song.